Pseudopod number 43, June 22nd, 2007. Today's story, Everything is Better with Zombies. Welcome to Pseudopod, the weekly horror podcast. I'm Ben Phillips, co-editor, along with Merle Lafferty. Everybody loves zombies these days, and we are just going to jump on the bandwagon with bells on and guns blazing. We've got two zombie stories for you this week and next. The one this week is called, emphatically enough, Everything is Better with Zombies by Hannah Wolf Bowen, and it was originally published in Phantom Number Zero and will be reprinted in Prime's Horror, the Best of the Year 2007. So double knot your shoelaces and make sure you got plenty of bubble tape to munch on, because I've got a story for you, and these kids will both pinky swear that it is true.
Everything is Better with Zombies by Hannah Wolf Bowen. Everything would be better with zombies. Take my junior high school graduation. Everything would have been better if zombies had shuffled in to pomp and circumstance. They would have lurched into the gym, devoured the principal's brains, and shuffled out again. There were no zombies at graduation. We walked in line. We took our seats. Living dead. I've long suspected that I might be a zombie. If I were a zombie, how would I know? I study scary and not scary movies. I read books. I play the relevant video games until my thumbs ache and my eyes grow tired and dry. My best friend Lionel says that he would know. You'd walk, he says, and demonstrates shambling gait and arms draped in the air. He lists left, which helps make it work, but Lion's walked badly for a while now. He's not doing it for effect. And you'd go, brains, and everyone would run away. Lion scowls and sits down beside me on the crumbly step. He picks at the grass growing up through the cement cracks. He would be out of luck if it came to running from the zombies. Besides, he's described half the town. If I were a zombie, I don't believe Lion would know. There are lots of ways to end up with a zombie. You can start with a dead person, or you can start with a live one, or you can start with a live one and turn him undead. That's part of what makes it so confusing. I know what a zombie is supposed to be like, but I could be wrong. I spend my days reading up at the library instead of packing for the move. Late afternoon, I ride my bike past the stoplight to the hardware store where Lion works. He fetches his bike from the alley and we pedal, not talking, up the road, across the tracks, and out of town. If we lived other than where we do, maybe we could explore, turn left instead of right, ride a little further than ever before, or keep going through the cornfield that's grown up tall, bumpity-bump, to the other side, with the wind around us like the sea. But we live where we live, and we have all our lives up until now. And the other side of the cornfield looks a lot like this one. So we stand on the pedals and creak up Salt Hill, then over the spray-painted bridge to Gravel-Top Strawberry Road, which curves sharp to the left and down, and if you're not careful, you'll fly into the air with the creek down below. I almost did the first times we came this way, and then some other times later when I thought I knew how to ride it, but was wrong. I have it now. I lean, and the bike swings left beneath me, and Lion yells, but his words are shredded by the wind. I coast all the way down to the cemetery, and there I stop. You can make a zombie with a disease. You can make a zombie with a potion. You can make a zombie with the right chants and voodoo charms. You may be able to make a zombie in other ways, too. It's hard to be sure. What we can be sure of is that some of the graves in the cemetery aren't as neat as they ought to be. The town isn't all that big. You'd expect that we'd know everyone, and you'd be right. But sometimes we find headstones we haven't found before, and Lion lingers to read them over and over aloud. I head down to the creek because the cemetery is a lot like the town, and barring unexpected headstones, I know every corner by heart. So I sit on the muddy bank, on a rock, or on a fallen log, and listen to the creek go splish-splashity-by. I see the footprint there. I'm still studying it when Lion comes up, muttering, "Emily Fitzhugh, 87 to... what's that?" He spots the footprint right away. It's hard to miss. The water is edged in mud, speckled with raccoon fingerprints. But this print is in a smooth, empty spot, and clear as if I'd stamped it there just now. One left footprint deeper at the ball of the foot and the toes, like she stepped down from the grassy tree-shaded bank, dropped and sank, pushing off against the yielding muck, and landed her right foot in the creek or on a stepping stone. "Not me," I say. "Do you think it's Emily?" "But my name is Emily, too." Lion gives me a hand up, long, chilly fingers wrapping my wrist. I kick off my sneakers and pick my way through the mud to the stepping stones, cool and rough beneath my toes. I crouch down, teetering, to examine the others ahead. There's another footprint, imperfect, rubber stamp that needs more ink. And on the far bank grass, a smudge of mud on a flattened dandelion. I stand and wave to Lion. "She went this way." "You don't know that she's a zombie," Lion says as we walk our bikes back up Salt Hill. The side that sweeps down to the cemetery is steep, and we've no momentum to carry us up. Instead, we'll trudge to the top of the hill and remount there to go zipping down. "She could be a ghoul, or a ghost, or a skeleton. We could have made her up." "You saw the footprint," I remind him. "We didn't make her up." We'd followed the trail to the highway. We'd paced along the shoulder, searching for the spot where she'd stepped back off the pavement. We hadn't found anything, but even Lion had agreed that the print by the creek was beautifully clear. And if she'd been a skeleton, it would have just been bone, and ghosts wouldn't leave any prints at all. "They might," Lion says, "if they were acting out their deaths." I shrug. "But a ghoul?" "You don't know she's a zombie. You don't know she's dead at all." I blink up at Lion and into the sun. It's sinking now behind the top of the hill, though it'll be above us still on the way down. Interrupting is an un-lion-like thing to do, and he's scowling, staring hard ahead, and so I'm thrown. "Yeah," I agree at last. "But what kind of freak goes barefoot in a cemetery?" Lion slants a glance at my sneakers where they hang, laces bound to the handlebars. I shrug again, and he laughs. Jokes might not be better with zombies. The problem about jokes with zombies is that they all have the same punchline. It all comes down to brains. Sometimes I wish the rest of life was more like jokes about zombies. But maybe it is. Lion went up to see his doctors today, and so I skip Amanda's end of the summer party, sit out on the porch and count fireflies, and pretend not to hear my dad saying we'll have to hit the road soon to get me to my mom's new place before school starts up there. Late, there's a bike tire whirr on pavement. Lion coasts to a stop under the streetlight, panting hard. I offer him my lemonade and ask, "What do zombies want with brains?" "Maybe they're jealous." But he says it like he's not quite paying attention, and it's been, I guess, a not-so-good day. "When you're a zombie," he begins, "do you remember who you were?" I take my lemonade glass back and set it with a thunk down on the porch steps. I fetch my bike and my pack from the side of the house. We ride slowly down the street, and my pack lies close to my back, and even coasting where I can. My shirt grows sticky with sweat. Over the tracks and out of town and up the hill. We don't have much momentum. Lion seems tired. We dismount and walk the bikes toward the top. "You're quiet," he says. "So are you." "Yeah, but I'm always quiet." "I think," I say, "that if I was a zombie, I wouldn't want to remember who I was. It's not like I could go back." I sneak a glance at him through the gloom, but this is a new moon night, and it's dark out here in the way that it never is in town. He plows up the hill and throws back, "When I'm a zombie, will you want to see me?" "Lion," I start, but we're at the top of the hill, climbing back onto our bikes, and I don't know what I'd meant to say. Zombies will kill anyone. They'll eat anybody's brains. It doesn't matter if the brains belong to their dad or their daughter or their best friend. I don't know if this means that they don't remember, or that they do. And if we find the other Emily, it won't prove anything. That could be just as well. I've never seen a zombie before, however hard I've looked. Probably it's best to start with one that I don't know. Lion beats me down the hill. He doesn't do that often, but tonight he's pushing hard, and besides, I rode my brakes. I leave him alone when I get there, dropping my pack to the grass and digging for the flashlight. But Lion says, "Don't." Dark pools like water at the base of the hill. The creek shivers by, and a cricket chirr squeaks, and I spook. Drop the flashlight before I realize that it's only Lion who's caught my other hand. "Don't do that." He's not listening. He's staring hard into the night, into the shadows under the trees. We could see every star if it wasn't cloudy, but this is Illinois, and it's always cloudy here when you could use a little light. Night washes the color out of Lion's face, out of his bright hair and his ragged red shirt. He could already be dead. If Lion were a zombie, how would I know? Somebody locks the cemetery gates at night. I don't know who. It doesn't matter. The fence is barely waist high, and we hop it, iron slick under sweaty palms as we lift ourselves across. Lion steps deftly around headstones that I can't even see. I thump a knee twice onto stone, fall back, and follow instead. The grass is on the long side of short, tended but ambivalently, so it hides rocks and holes and things to trip me up. I keep one eye on Lion, one on the ground. I reach out as we skirt the headstone where the gray of grass gives way to the gray of overturned earth, and dip the tips of my fingers into the carven E. Lion, I say, do you think she's scared? He stops, abrupt, and we almost collide. I skip sideways, sinking my shoes into the soft, heavy soil of Emily's grave. I imagine the shiver of bodies moving, the strong, twiggy fingerbone grasp on my ankle. But this patch of ground is already disturbed, and not only by worms. The zombies can't grab you if the zombies have already gone. When you're a zombie, Lion says, you shouldn't have to be scared. I don't think of Lion as scared. He's too steady, too serious. Lion, my friend. He's braver about dead things than anyone I know. I guess he'd have to be. You don't have to run from zombies. You just have to walk at a brisk pace, and maybe zigzag once in a while. You don't have to run to catch them, either. They're not that fast. But Lion isn't waiting, or even walking. I've never seen him like this. This isn't the first time that we've chased a zombie. I keep a list in a notebook that lives in my backpack, and Lion keeps one in his head. We can't be sure that every disturbed grave has a zombie in it. Probably there are ghouls and ghosts and skeletons, like he said. Probably there are vampires. Probably there are mummies, too. You'd have to go out of your way to mummify anyone, here. Which isn't to say it couldn't be done. But most of them are zombies, if they're anything at all. You can tell from the prints, from the shuffling gait. You can tell from the town. If we're mostly beset by vampires, I think we'd be paler, colder, lonelier. Instead, we move slow and try not to think. I never thought Lion cared. He's a smart kid, reads a lot. Might have been skipped up a grade if he hadn't missed so much school. But he's never seemed to mind the town, or to mind not leaving it. He thinks the zombies are kind of neat. But he only chases them, because I do. But tonight I'm not so much chasing as stumbling along behind as he tracks like a hound. We splash through the creek, no time for stepping stones or for taking off shoes. The bank on the other side is steep. The hill above is steeper. I grab onto slender trees for balance and to pull myself up. I lunge, and my right shoelace swings with my stride, sticks soggy to my ankle. At the top it levels out and opens up. The ditch is filled with fireflies, and there's the highway, empty except when the semis pass, swallowing the miles and spitting out exhaust. They say it runs clear to Colorado, two lanes each direction with reflectors in the stripes. I've ridden along it going into the city, or with Lion to see a movie or a band, or going to see my mom's new place in the city, by the new high school that's supposed to be mine. I've ridden along it up until now. Back again. This is where we lost her trail before. Tonight he doesn't pause. He lopes across the highway, crashing into the cornfield, and I lose him, hear stalks bending, breaking, but the wind is in the corn, and so am I. I stop. I can see where the corn's been pushed down, where Lion's passed, or the zombie girl, or a deer. I can hear the rattle of the stalks and a weird no-cricket stillness, and then the wind as it kicks up again. I step deeper into the field, and flattened stalks crunch underfoot like so many bones. I'd left my backpack in the cemetery. I hadn't expected we'd just take off like this. What would I do if I found the zombie, or if the zombie found me? I could, I think, just walk slowly, carefully, back to town. But I have to be sure that I don't get grabbed. In this field, in the dark, I can't know where she is, or if she's still here at all. Something moves, off to my left, heavier than the wind, and I whisper, Lion? Because it doesn't matter. If it's the zombie, she probably already knows that I'm here. I hold my breath, and let it out, explosive yelp, as Lion yells, more like a scream, ragged and sharp. I turn blindly into the corn, plow through to the tractor path between fields, and Lion! I yell. Another creek ahead, path of least resistance, and you can't see color in the dark, but movement, yes, I run. I stop at the top of the bank, Lion in a heap below, and behind me a sound, a staggering heavy tread and a retreating break of corn. I gather myself to turn, to chase, and then I don't. I couldn't leave Lion behind. Endings may not be better with zombies. You can't have a happy ending and zombies both. Even if the hero survives. Even if her friends do, and let's face it, they don't. I skid down the bank on stones and loose dirt, catching an old tree to halt my slide. It's cooler down here. Heat rises. Fog settles in low-slung spots. And Lion shivers, hands around a twisted ankle, dirty face streaked and smudged. Not that he'd admit to tears. Not that I want him to. But I know I can't ask, "Are you okay?" And so try, "Did you see her?" instead. He doesn't answer. He doesn't seem to hear. Also, did she see him? She shambled away and left us here. I don't know what that means. Maybe he wasn't the only one who could follow a trail. Maybe the zombie girl could, too. Then things would change. There'd be riots, martial law, boarded up doors and baseball bats. I'd have to stay. They'd need me here. But that's the other problem about endings with zombies. You only win if you cheat. You can run away if there's only one. You can dodge around two or smash them with a bat. But there are never just one or two zombies. Instead, there's three or four or lots shambling in cornfields or down the street, and it never really works, holing up and hiding out. I wouldn't bet against a zombie. Not on my life. Only, it's a long walk back, and an ankle's a bad thing to hurt. And so even if we get that far, Lion won't be able to bike. Did she bite you? I ask, and he shakes his head. Not yet. Without any more tears, just that sidekick's resolve in his eye. I swallow hard. I pull him to his feet and I hug him, fierce, and say into his chest, "I'm gonna miss you." Zombies pretend to be about how there are things worse than death. It isn't true. Being one is an in-between state, and the way out is pretty much what you'd expect. Zombies are about how there are worse things than life. Lion's taller than I am, and heavier still, but he leans on my shoulder and limps, more than usual, until we're back by the highway again. We know where we're going, and have purpose, and brains. I think we beat the zombie girl there. I break a low branch from a tree at the edge of the fields, and Lion takes it from my hands. It's the best that we can do. He tries a few practice swings, and maybe baseball players know about zombies, too. You don't drop the bat unless you're going to run. But you do run, in the end. That's how you get away from zombies. You back away a couple of steps, you say goodbye, and then you turn. You run. You don't look over your shoulder. You don't zig, because one too many zags puts you back where you began. You run because zombies are slow, but inevitable, and also because they're right. There are worse things than life, and zombies are better with everything.
I remember the first time I had to walk home from the movie theater at night through a creepy fog. I had just seen that 80s remake of The Blob with my cousin up at our small town's run-down one-screen movie theater. God, I miss that place. After my terrified 10-year-old self sat through that, I was trying to piss in the urinal while standing as far away as I could get from that creepy hole in the bricks next to it. And then when we walked home and that fog rose up from the ground, we were pretty sure a small army of unidentifiable horrors were after us. Good times. That was up in the country, too, where you got real country dark, as they say in Clockwork Orange. Pseudopod is a production of Escape Artists Incorporated and is produced under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution No Derivatives 2.5 license. If you enjoy the stories, please visit us online at pseudopod.org. Drop us a small donation via PayPal to help us pay our authors. Just click on Feed the Pod. Check back next week for more scary stuff. Till then, be careful in the dark and everywhere else. Trust your friends and never leave them behind. Good night.